Okay, our next presentation is titled Evaluation of Zoysiagrass Cultivar Relative Susceptibility to Rhizoctonia Solani, AG22 Large Patch, N. Floor, K. Kenworthy, and P. Harmon, University of Florida. N. Floor will be presenting.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you so much for being here attending this presentation. As introduction, I'm going to give you a basic knowledge about social species, Rhizoctonia solani, large patch disease, previous studies, then I am going to explain objectives, the methodology, and of course, the results. Zoysia is a warm season grass native from the Pacific Rim countries, especially from China, Japan, and Korea. There are 11 described species, but the most important are Zoysia matrilla and Zoysia japonica. One important difference between them is the leaf texture. Zoysia matrilla has leaf fine texture, and Zoysia japonica has leaf coarse texture. Primary uses for Zoysia is golf courses, athletic fields, parks, and it's used as a lawn grass. It's adapted to a wide range of growing conditions, requires low maintenance, and it's a very drought-tolerant species. Rhizoctonia solani is a fungal pathogen that belongs to the Basidiomycetes class. It's a very pathogenic and polyphagous species, affect more than 200 different plant species worldwide. For identification, there is a very important morphology, which is the hypha. As you can see here in the picture, it has a 90-degree angle. The classical system for the identification is the anastomosis reaction. This reaction basically explains the ability that two different isolates have to fuse their hypha and undergo somehow of genetic recombination. This system has allowed to identify four important anastomosis groups related as a turf grass pathogens. Among them, the LP strain for large patch disease that belongs to the anastomosis group 22 is the most important for the purpose of this presentation because it's the causal agent of the large patch disease. During my presentation, I am going to refer large patch as an LP. This is the most important disease for Zoysia grass and for other warm season grasses in the United States and in Japan. Association of the anastomosis group 22-2 LP with Zoysia japonica was done in 1993. There are many environmental conditions for disease development, but one of the most important is soil temperature, especially between 18 to 24 degrees Celsius. LP occurs from fall to spring and mainly affects the crowns and the base of the sheaths. In the field, you can observe symptoms as a small to large circular patches that can be about 2 meters or more than 2 meters. The fungus has the ability to overwinter in plant debris, thatch, or soil, and which is important because it can be a potential source of inoculum for future infections. Briefly, I am going to explain the disease cycle of the fungus. So basically, infection starts with mycelia of sclerotia, which are reproductive structures of the pathogen. They germinate and produce hypha. Hypha produces more mycelium. Mycelium is established on plant surface. It produces infection cushion. And this is the structure that allows the fungus to invade or penetrate host cells. This is how necrosis and symptoms are observed. These are the field symptoms of the LP disease. You can observe in the picture the orange halo, the size of the patch, and how the disease is spread in the field. In this picture, you can observe a more advanced stage of the infection. You can observe how the grass inside the patch is almost killed. In this picture, this is a Zoysia rhizome showing chlorosis due to the presence of the pathogen. Previous studies done in 1994 for Rhizoctonia blight, evaluating commercial cultivars using an AG22 strain, show that there is no immune cultivar against the disease. However, authors were able to differentiate cultivars in different levels of susceptibility. As you can observe in this slide, there were highly susceptible cultivars. You can observe disease severity. There were moderate susceptible and moderate resistant cultivars. With all of this information, the rationality for this project is LP is an important economical disease. There are very few published studies on screening soja grass commercial cultivars or even breeding lines against the disease. So there is little or known information regardless to resistance to large patch disease among soja grass cultivars. With that information, I am going to present my objectives. The first one is develop a LP screening methodology for soja grass, in this case, cultivars, but we are planning also to use this methodology for experimental breeding lines. The second objective is determine the disease response of soja grass cultivars against a virulent large patch isolate. The first step or before doing the LP screening is the characterization of the isolate. 0714 was isolated in April 2007 from Palmeros and Augustine grass in Florida. The first characterization was in describing the morphological features in PDA, which is potato dextrosa agar media, at 25 degrees Celsius. Morphology features were very similar to describe to those described in the literature. As an example, the fungus produced a dark brown aerial mycelia. It shows zonation in different temperatures, and a key for identification is the absence of sclerotia production. 0714 was also characterized in a molecular way using ITS1 and ITS4 primers that amplified the internal transcribed spacer sequences. Sequence data show us that 0714 is 98% similar to Rhizoctonia solanae AG22LP. In addition to this characterization, I tested the isolate using specific primers that amplify AG22LP isolates. These primers were designed in 2002 by Carlin and et al., and the results were the isolate tested positive. 12 commercial cultivars were screened in this study, and they were selected especially for their importance in Florida production. 6 cultivars from Soysia japonica and 6 cultivars of Soysia matrilla. With this slide, I am showing you the methodology for the LP screening. This is what the isolate looked like. Plaques were obtained from an active growth culture to produce the inoculum in wheat seeds. Plants that were inoculated were maintained under greenhouse conditions. 2 trials under the same conditions were done. For the first trial, 3-month-old plants were used, and for the second trial, 6-month-old plants were used. The inoculation was done placing 15 infested seeds in the center of each pot. 6 plants were used as a replicate and 6 plants were used as a control. Incubation was done in a walking growth chamber, setting up the right conditions for the disease, and the design was completely randomized. Each cultivar was evaluated in 2 different ratings, 7 and 14 days after the inoculation, using the Horsfall and Barrett scale. Analysis of variance was done using multiple Duncan multiple range tests. And this is how the Horsfall and Barrett scale look like. As you can observe, it has 13 different categories. You can observe the correspondence of each category with disease severity. With these pictures, I would like to illustrate the severity percent from the lowest to the most advanced disease severity percent. I am presenting the results at 7 days after inoculation. As I mentioned before, Duncan multiple range test. In the y-axis, it's severity percent, and the x-axis is commercial cultivars. These are the results of the first trial, results of the second trial. And as you can observe in the graphs, there is no immune cultivar, or there is no cultivar with absolute resistance to the isolate. However, different levels of susceptibility were observed among the cultivars tested. In this point, I am showing the bad performers in the screening. Pristine Flora is one of them. In this corner, there were better performers, Sasha El Toro, Jamer, Empire, and Diamond. During the second trial, more disease was observed among the cultivars. So cultivars were more susceptible to the disease, and the group of the bad performers was bigger. As an example, I have Shadow Turf, Diamond, Pristine, Emerald, and Ultimate. The best performers in this trial were Empire, Jammer, Mayor, and Palisades. These are the results at 14 days after inoculation. And I would like to mention that I am showing these results for the purpose of this presentation. But 7 days after inoculation is the best rating to differentiate or to observe differences among cultivars. Actually, literature reports a seven days of period incubation for disease development. At 14 days after inoculation, most of the cultivars are highly susceptible to the disease or to the isolate. Again, we have severity at y-axis, commercial cultivars in x-axis. Zorro was the bad performer in this case. Empire, El Toro, Jamur were the best performers. And in the second trial, most of the cultivars were susceptible to the disease. However, Empire showed a better disease response compared with Emerald, Shadow Turf, Jamer, Diamond, Ultimate, and El Toro. These are the pictures at 7 days after the inoculation. Above, you can observe the bad performers, Pristine, Shadow Turf, Zorro, and Diamond. C, it stands for control, and I stands for inoculated plants, so you can compare the disease severity between inoculated plants and controls. Below are the good performers, Jamur, Palisades, Ultimate, and Empire. These are the pictures that shows disease severity at 14 days after inoculation. As I mentioned before, most of the cultivars are highly susceptible at this point. As a conclusion, I would say that the screening methodology was very efficient to reproduce symptoms of the disease. Cultivars were statistically different in both rating days. Empire, Jamur, Mayor, Palisades, and El Toro were consistently less susceptible at 7 days after inoculation in both trials. Zorro, Emerald, Shadow Turf, and Pristine were consistently high susceptible using 7 days after inoculation data in both trials. There were inconsistencies in the disease response observed with Zeon, Ultimate, and Diamond between trials. In the first one, they were less susceptible, and in the second trial, they were more susceptible to the isolate. With this information, the next research goals are associate the growth chamber responses that I am showing you today with a disease response used in artificial field inoculations to see the relationship between both screening methodologies. The second goal is utilize this screening protocol for the evaluation of other zoysia grass germplasms, for example, other commercial cultivars or breeding lines or experimental lines. With this slide, I am finishing my presentation, and I will be happy to take your questions. Thank you so much for your attention.
We've got about a minute for questions. Yeah, questions.
Yes. Can you repeat the question, please?
In terms of cultivar evaluation results that you've shown,
yes.
Is there any information from field evaluations done in the United States that you might be able to currently compare to see how your results compare with some field results?
Okay. The question is, if there is a relationship between the data that I am presenting with field data of commercial cultivars in the United States, right? Okay. I am not sure because the data that we have under field conditions has mixed information. What I mean is before 1993, all the patches that were observed in Zoysia grass, in San Agustin grass, in warm season grasses were attributed to large patch disease, brown patch, Rhizoctonia patch. So if you read the literature, you will find different disease response related to cultivars. What I mean is, let's say, Jamir is susceptible to large patch. In other extension sheet, you can find Jamir is resistant to large patch. But we don't know really if the disease response is related to the ALP disease or if this is related to another Rhizoctonia disease. So this is one of the important results of this screen, trying to set up a disease response for these cultivars.
Okay, let's thank our speaker.